This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's John Granato.
I hit it hard, man. So far, man.
Well, good Saturday morning, everybody. John and Charlie in studio in Houston. Billy Harmon is going to join us from his palatial estate in Palm Springs. Charlie, how are you?
John, I am doing very well, thank you.
We had a nice golf weekend last week. Colin Morikawa kind of ruined it with a three-stroke win. I thought there was no drama, nothing. He just pulled away and said, y'all ain't catching me.
And it's a very hard golf course, very tight. Greens are very small. You know, he won the PGA in a fashion that was really unbelievable. And his iron play is second to none.
He's such a good young player. We've got so many good young players. But, you know, when you talk about the Matthew Wolfs and the Victor Hovlands and Colin Morikawa
Victor,
and Will Zalatoris. And, yeah, but Morikawa's kind of pulling away from the other guys.
Yeah, he's one of, you know, World Golf Championship. He's won a major.
Yeah.
He's won three other tournaments. He went 29 weeks without missing a cut.
When you're doing these things, and they put up the set of a guy who won a World Golf and a major, you know, before they're 25 years old, the list is like, oh, my goodness, those are some great players.
And he went to school at Cal Berkeley.
Yeah.
The only thing I know about Cal Berkeley is everybody smoked grass.
Well, you got to be smart, too, not just smoking weed all the time.
Well,
Charlie,
you're smart when you start smoking all
the time. Well, it depends. It depends. Some aren't that smart.
Cal
that smoke
Berkeley,
weed. What do you think, Sean? Sean, our producer's laughing. Sean, you got to be smart smoke weed?
They invented the beatnik.
Yeah.
John.
Yeah, Sean, you got to be smart to smoke weed, Sean?
You don't have to be smart, but I'm sure it helps.
It helps. Well,
it makes you smart.
It makes you think, right, Charlie?
It opens your mind.
Well, sometimes
it helps me sleep. I'm taking all this hemp.
Oh, yeah, you are?
Oh, my God,
Charlie,
yes.
We didn't know you were,
I'm running out of rope here, so I might as well start enjoying it.
Charlie's a freak. We didn't know it, Sean. But okay, we got a hippie in here. We didn't know about. Well, we're just getting it started. So now we know something about Charlie, don't we?
You got it.
We are just getting it started. I thought we were going to talk golf, but instead we're going to talk about Charlie's weed addiction. So we will bring in. We will bring in our man after this. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's John Granato.
Welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance. Bringing in our good friend, Billy Harmon. Billy, we had a big revelation before you got in here. Charlie was talking about Colin Morikawa going to Cal Berkeley, and that's all they do is smoke weed, and now that's all he does so he can sleep at night. So we got us a hippie in here with
See,
us.
See, now, there you twisted the
story. Well, a little bit. Maybe I exaggerated just a hair. Okay? So we didn't know that. But Charlie's enjoying
so
a little hemp.
Charlie's in good form this morning with his statements that have no facts to them. Is this the fake news, Charlie Epps Golf Hour here, John?
He enjoys a little hemp to go to sleep at night, that's all.
Hey, Bill, you were in that part of the world at San Jose State, just down the lake from Cal Berkeley. I mean, the only thing that Cal Berkeley had, they had a bunch of hippies smoking grass and acid, doing acid.
Well, this conversation's going a much different direction than I thought. I thought we were going to talk about all those beautiful fades that Colin hit off the tee with Lake on the left and how he was so composed. But maybe Charlie might have something here, John. Maybe Charlie's got the key to better golf is you got to take acid.
Well, I don't know about acid, if that's going to help your game at all, everybody out there. But I'll tell you this, Colin Morikawa out of Berkeley, we know he's one of the smart kids because you got to be smart to get in there. And he sure is composed, isn't he, Billy Boy? I'm going to tell you, we were talking about it before, You know, you got Victor Hovland, and you got Matthew Wolf, and you got Will Zalatoris, and you got all these guys out there. This kid, this young man, is he's putting himself in the front of all those good young players.
Yeah, and I think we also saw another one. Scottie Scheffler is kind of right in that same crowd. But you're right. Colin has distanced himself from these very, very, very good players. I think he's the only one that's won a major in a world golf event by the time he was 25, other than that guy named Tiger Woods. So I think that, you know, what he's done in a short amount of time is rather historic. And as good as Hovland is and as good as Wolf and all these guys are, he has separated himself as the prime time player of the four at the moment.
Well, being such a great ball striker, starting with his driver, he's not one of these bombers. He keeps it in play, and he works the side of the fairway depending on where the pin is. I mean, he's very, very calculating. And then his iron play, Bill, is his iron swing is just so precise and so under control. I enjoy watching him.
Well, he cuts. It seems like he cut every shot. You know that.
Yeah.
Shot tracker on TV is like the greatest invention ever. Mm-hmm. Off on TV, and every one of his balls goes left to right. He's got complete control of his ball when he's playing well. And as John has alluded to, you know, under the gun, this guy, he performs. You know, he doesn't back up when it's his chance to win. So I think we're looking at a young man that will probably be around a long, long time.
How would you all describe, he's not robotic, but it's almost a perfect, and it almost is every time it looks like the same. He's not, you know, when there was a while up on a tour, everybody, it looked like everybody's swing was just the same, right? It was, it seemed like everybody coming out, all these the young guys that were coming out, man, it's just the same, same, same. But his swing just looks perfect, yet, and I wouldn't call it robotic. How would you describe it, Charlie?
Well, I would say, you know, it's well-balanced. It's a swing that has the same tempo all the time. I mean, his speed control is really, really good. It's effortless power. And he's always on balance, and I think those are combinations to hit the ball solid all the time. And when you win a major, when you win a World Golf Championship, I mean, Bill, that golf course concessions was really neat. I can't wait to go see it. One of these days I hope to see it because it lived up to its reputation.
Yeah, it looked very interesting because there were some greens where, you know, if you missed the green by 6 inches, it went zooming down some hill. It kind of repelled balls, but the scores were good. You know, the scores indicated that the course might not have been quite as hard as it appeared because there were a lot of good scores. And it's good to see Koepka's kind of back in the swing of things. And you know, as we're looking towards this week, we've got a very interesting leaderboard at Bay Hill, and as I've said on the show a few times, it seems like, you know, those top five or six players we have that are really good now, you know, two, three, or four of them, if they're in a tournament, play good every week, and so they kind of grace us with their brilliance. I just think the game is in great hands. We got a lot of good young players. They all handle themselves beautifully, and DeChambeau's back in the mix now, and he's fun to watch, you know, whether you like him, don't like him, or whatever. I find he definitely adds something to the telecast myself.
Was it last year at this? I think it was at Bay Hill where it was like, wow, he's just overpowering the field, and yet he couldn't get his wedges down. And then yesterday, the first 2 days, a lot of that too, he's just so much further than everybody else. And yet that wedge, it's got to be a 60-degree that he's hitting into all these greens.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. I mean, how long he is. And yet it's so hard for him, even as close as he is, to get as close, you know, to get close every single time.
Well, sometimes it's easier to hit a full shot than a three-quarter or a half shot.
He's having that a lot.
During the week, I heard an interview with a past champion at Arnold's Place, Robert Gomez. Mm-hmm. And the interview really was, I thought, very, very well done. And Robert was talking, you know, like he was working on his putting, and he's got an instructor, and he was real positive. And
was this after he shot 92? He shot 92, Charlie.
Hey, well, you messed up my story. And he shot 92 and disqualified himself.
The instructor wants you to quit this story.
But I don't know what the heck he was.
92.
And he sounded like he was going to shoot 62. Anyway.
Robert, 92.
I think Robert Gomez is time to, you know, like me, wrap it up.
First event out, right? Robert Gomez won his first event out?
Yeah.
Back in the day? Yeah.
Arizona.
Yeah.
And then he made it from 176 yards to beat Greg Norman in one of those championships at Arnold Palmer. So he had a distinct, you know, okay career, but...
good player.
Yeah. No. But 92, not so much.
92.
But he's got to be... What,
six.
How old is he now?
About 51.
51,
but,
yeah.
You know, six doubles and a triple.
Wow. That's a bad day.
The only thing he didn't have on the card was an X.
Well, he withdrew, so good for him. You might want to quit after 92, and if you go back to that teacher, find out what's going on there. Well, speaking of the Champions Tour last week, Mike Weir kind of gave it up, guys. Yeah. I mean, he was playing so beautifully, and he gave it up on 16 and 18. And Kevin Sutherland, I was just telling Charlie, Bill, and during the break, Kevin Sutherland's already on the Champions Tour. It feels like he's still one of those young players out there, and he's out there, and he's. He was able to finish eagle birdie or what he came from behind
from
nowhere and was able to win that thing. But Mike Weir, it's a shame too because
I was rooting for
how
him.
Well he had played all week.
He's a nice guy and he's really coming back, kind of like our good friend Jordan Spieth who every week Bill is you know, putting some good numbers down there, and his attitude is good, and it's you can see he's walking with a little swagger now, I think. But Bill,
he's on a streak now where he's been in contention every week for four or five straight tournaments, and to me, even though he's not winning, that constitutes, like you said, his body language is better, his confidence is up, and I love having them added to the mix. You know, Jordan Spieth was the number one player in the world not that long ago. So it's nice to throw him in there with the Rorys and the DJs and the Kepkas and all these great young players, JT and all these guys. So it's nice to see him back. I'm happy for him.
Hey, Bill, where they're aiming on number six, the dog leg left, the horseshoe hole, and hitting these 330-yard air, you know, sky balls over the lake. It's to me, that's just impressive as hell. Him and Bryson,
along with being a little stupid.
Yeah.
Because if you hit it in the lake, it's like hitting it out of bounds.
But so, it's ridiculous.
I get it in practice rounds, but I think in the tournament, they could hit it 310 and still have an iron in the green. So I hope if I were in their groups, I would hope that they were trying to carry a 340 over the lake. That's what I'd be rooting for. And if they did it, more power to them.
Well, how about going straight at the green there?
Well, Bryson tried that, and he almost made it.
I saw that in the practice round, yep.
He almost got there?
Yeah.
Wasn't it Daly back in the day try to get there, too?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
He needed a rowboat to get there.
Yeah. He won't get in there. That is a long way. Might as well, if you're Bryson, might as well try. Hey, if he does it in the practice round, what are you going to do? I'm going to go for it. How about waiting for all those guys to get off the green by the time you tee it up? You think there's going to be a line behind Bryson? Yeah, I would imagine there would be. All right, it's 23 past the hour here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, Inspiring Business Performance. We're just getting it started. Don't you go anywhere.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's John Granato.
All right, welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, Inspiring Business Performance. Charlie, talk about your peeps over at Insperity.
You know, they never cease to amaze me. They're just moving into their new building. They're expanding their product even during this downtime. They've been working hard. A lot of it's been from home, but they've got a great facility out in Kingwood. But the most important thing are the people, John. The people that work for Whispering Pines. Mm-hmm. Anyway. that work for Insperity are top-notch people that are trained to really satisfy their clients. So if you're a small business owner and you're going through all these horrible things we've been going through, give them a call, log on to their website, and there's somebody there that can help you. They're professionals at HR, but they also have some other ways to look at your business and say, this is good, this is bad. But since 1986, they've grown to a $4 billion company. Wow. So they know, and they have like 100 offices all over the country. So give Insperity a chance, and they will give you a great, great analyzation of your company. No, that's it.
Good stuff. Insperity, inspiring business performance. All right, guys, good news. Ricky Fowler made the cut. And so he's in the hunt. Not really in the hunt, what with him being, you know, 13 shots back. But talk about shots. Nick Faldo took a shot at him this week.
I heard that.
Brian Wacker tweeted this. Even Ricky Fowler is getting frustrated with Ricky Fowler, who is in danger of missing the Masters for the first time since 2010. Nick Faldo retweeted it and said, good news is if he misses the Masters, he can shoot another 6 commercials that week. What do you think of the shot, Bill? What do you think of the shot Faldo took at him?
Interesting, I guess. You know, that has been certainly not to that extent. You know, a lot of people have thought Ricky got more coverage than his play deserved. But I think part of it is because he is such a great kid and he is so great for the game. And he handled himself so well, and he dressed differently, and he resonated with the younger fans. You know, there were a lot of pluses to Ricky Fowler and very few minuses, in my opinion. He's struggling now. He's presently in last place now in the tournament. He's 2 over par early in his round. I don't know for Faldo to say that. I don't know what he's trying to achieve, maybe except to get a few more likes or bites or whatever.
Sell some more shoes.
Whatever it is, yeah. So it makes you wonder what he's trying to do. I think when other players knock other players for no real reason other than the fact that they're playing bad, I always thought another player should understand that, you know, what it's like to lose your confidence and go through struggles and stuff. And it sounds like there's almost a little jealousy there. I don't know why Nick has won 6 majors, whatever it is. And so I don't know. I would say it's uncalled for, but it's good for people like us to talk about. And it keeps the focus on golf. You know, I've often said that the ladies tour needs some heroes and villains. There's no villains out there. That's for sure, it seems like. So I don't know. I'm a big fan of Ricky. This is now his 3rd coach in the last 18 months, and Charlie knows this, and I know it. When a pro golfer loses his swing and he loses his confidence, there's no law saying they'll ever get it back. Look how long it's taken Jordan Spieth. So I think Ricky's too quality of a person to fall off the map forever. But, you know, it wasn't like he'd won 10 or 11 tournaments. You know, he's gotten a lot of publicity. Got a lot of mileage out of his career, and obviously with commercials, he was very marketable. But I don't hold that against him because he's such a fine young guy.
Well, but the other thing that happens with guys like that, you know, he's been playing golf since he's 10 years old, and you get tired of it. People forget that Tom Watson went 9 years without winning.
That's a Hall of Famer.
That's a Hall of Famer. And he at the 83 U.S. Open at Oakmont, 3-putted the 71st hole because he had a chance to win, and he didn't win until he won it at Muirfield. And it's unbelievable how that can happen to talented guys. Yeah. But I think a lot of times – is we're too much golf. And Nicklaus had, he always played better with less.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people are pointing to he and Jordan. They get married, and then all of a sudden their games fall off the world. And quite frankly, it was coincidental, but that's what happened with both of them. And I don't think we can blame their wives, their new wives, but there's something different. And it's, listen, not winning for 9 years is one thing, but where Ricky Fowler and Jordan Spieth went, where they couldn't make cuts. I mean, it's really, really weird, especially as talented as both of those guys are.
My wife's golf game suffered, too.
Did it?
Yeah. She's so bored with golf. But anyways, yeah, it's amazing that happens in sport. And, you know, the sun will shine on you for 5 or 6 years, but then after that, you got to be a special person, Bill, to last as long as a Nicklaus or a Raymond Floyd that can play into their 50s and still compete at the highest level. Steve Stricker, he's doing pretty
goodness,
good.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, yeah. Where Ricky and Jordan got to, though, is just the nadir. It can't get any worse. It can't get any lower for those guys. And do you think he's going to bounce back? It's going to take a little time, but, Bill, you predict Ricky will be back at the top again where – Like Jordan is getting back and being in the hunt for a bunch of tournaments?
No.
No?
I think he'll get back to being a better player. But, you know, Butch said something interesting the other day, and he loves Ricky, loves him. But he said, you know, maybe he wasn't as great a player as we thought he was. You know, he'd only won 4 or 5 times. He was a wonderful putter. And as we saw with Jordan, when he wasn't putting good, the errors of his long game seemed to be highlighted. And, you know, when you're younger, you seem to putt better. It just seems like that. The nerves are better. And so now that Ricky doesn't putt like he used to, and he's going through a bunch of swing changes, you know, he becomes ordinary. I've said it on the show. Seve Ballesteros said when a great player loses his nerve, it becomes ordinary. And when these guys lose their confidence and their nerves, they become like everybody else. And so, you know, Charlie's also right. I think these guys make so much money. I think it would be abnormal to not soften a little bit. I just think it would be abnormal to maintain your hunger when you're not hungry.
Yeah.
And so I think it takes a very special person nowadays to be financially set for life at age 25. And still push and drive yourself and go through all the stuff that is required to stay on top, because there's so many good young players. We just talked about the 4 or 5 that have come out in the last 18 months. The quality of these guys, they're just coming out, and they are hungry. So I think Ricky will be back to obviously playing better than he is now, but I'd be very surprised if he ever won a major, to be honest with you.
You know, and we talk about, you know, the greatest, that drive that Tiger had and Michael Jordan had, that they just wanted to and sometimes when you watch The Last Dance of Michael Jordan, you say, wow, well, not a great guy, you know, throwing, you know, punching Steve Kerr and throwing the ball at and just being, you know, an a-hole to his teammates and all of this stuff. But it, you know what, there's a price that you pay. He said it, there's a price that you pay, and there's a price that Tiger paid, there's a price that Michael Jordan paid. But if you want to be great, you know, you can't lose that. You can't. Those guys could have quit with all the money and the titles they had when they were in their mid 20s, and yet it just fueled them to be the best. Not everybody's got that.
No. I like Shaq O'Neal. I like his attitude.
No, well, he's fun. There's no question.
He's great. You know. Yeah. Now he's into wrestling.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, John, to your point, it was kind of highly unusual that Nicklaus did it with extreme balance in his life.
Right.
You know, he never played more than 2 or 3 weeks, and he spent time at home. Jack is probably the, of all the solo sports where a guy is dominated, he's probably, to me, the most balanced of all of the athletes that have achieved the greatness, you know, the really, really great, great greatness to put him way above the rest. And he did do it with a a lot of balance in his life. He was highly unusual that way, I think.
Absolutely. No, how he did it is amazing, to be the best like that and yet to have a life, a life that was fulfilling for him with those children and wife. All right, taking a break. We've got another segment coming your way. On the other side is Charlie M. Scoffar, brought to you by Insperity. Don't go anywhere.
Charlie F's Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie F's. Here's John Granato.
All right, welcome back to the Charlie F's Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance. We haven't mentioned Ricky. We haven't mentioned Rory yet, guys. So good. Such a great ambassador for the game, and having just such a difficult time getting over the top. He's 7 under right now, and he's just 2 back of Corey Connors, the Canadian, and yet every time he's up there at the top of the leaderboard, you think, well, here we go again. Here comes Rory, and yet something. It seems like it happens. If you put the great players in the game today in tiers, Rory's in a second tier, isn't he?
I would say no. I think he's still a first-tier player because of the way he won his majors, but he's running out of room. Bill, his putting stroke is like his driver, too long, you know, to be really accurate as a putter should be. That would be my only criticism. I would like to see him shorten that up, but what do I know? I don't, you know.
Bill, you?
Yeah, I don't know. Rory, I think he missed a cut at L.A., but generally speaking, he's right there every week. And it is interesting that he hasn't won as much the last 3 or 4 years, and he hasn't won a major in quite some time. You know, and I've said it 100 times on the show, I've never really heard of a great young player, and he is great. There's no doubt about it. He'll be in the Hall of Fame if he quit right now. That had a half a dozen putting coaches by the time he was 30. And you know, we live in this information age, and these young guys are used to the information and stuff, but I'm just not convinced that all of it, although all the information is good. But I think it takes away... Frank Beard said this, 1969 Leading Money Winners, his exact words, that two of the Lord's greatest gifts are your eyesight and your intuition. And he believes when science takes away that from a great player and takes away Rory's intuitive nature, because when he was winning those majors, he was a hell of a putter, don't you think, Charlie?
Yeah.
And now he works at it, and he's got all these different strokes. Yeah. And all of it, the motivation is good. The motivation is to get better. But, you know, you look at how long the Nicklauses and the Gary Players and Arnold, all these guys lasted decades without a coach, really. You know, Jack had Jack Grout, but he was a set of eyes, and they all just kind of figured it out themselves. And nowadays you have these guys that are, and I get it, they're looking for a better, more profound way, and it's very admirable. But somewhere along the line, they don't protect their own feels and their own instincts, and they look at all these guys that are teaching them like, oh, teacher, show me the way, you know. And the one thing that's in common with the teachers and the players, the teachers can't do it. Because if they could, they'd be playing. They wouldn't be teaching.
You know,
I think these players, I think all players cast a wary eye on instruction. Even my instruction. Cast a wary eye on it and then do what you can do and dismiss what you can't do.
I was lucky during the working with Jim Flick at Golf Digest, and then we went and started the Nicklaus Flick Golf Schools, and we spent a lot of time with Jack on the practice tee, and I watched Jim and Jack work together, and Jim listened a lot. You know, and I think that's the secret to being a good teacher, is you got to be a good listener. What I see today with modern day instruction and all that, there's just so much information and so much misinformation, in my opinion. And Jack was very adamant on what he wanted to do, and if Jim started on one of his, you know, well, Jack, wait a minute, Jim, I got the club in my hand, I know what I'm doing, you know, so, and then he lasted. I mean, he finished what, in the top 10 at Masters when he was 57 years old. After all, everything else he's done, and you go back and look at that career in the amount of, you know, top tens in the majors and the victories and the seconds, it's incredible.
Mm-hmm. No. Back to Rory though for a minute, guys. If gun to your head and you had to pick a guy in this fivesome, all under the English flag, the constituents of the English flag, Tyrrell Hatton, Rory, Matthew Fitzpatrick, Paul Casey, and Tommy Fleetwood. And you got gun to your head, one round, and he's got to win it for you.
I'm going to pick Rory.
You're going to pick Rory? Yeah. I might pick Hatton. Hatton's playing pretty damn well. I think I might pick Hatton if you want to know the truth.
Yeah, I mean, he won here last year at Arnold Palmer's deal, and he opened up with 76, and he shot 66. You know, that to me is a sign of a good player.
If I asked you who's ahead of whom in the world golf rankings.
Well, it's not Rory.
It's Hatton.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bill, who would you take there?
I'd still have to go with Rory, although I like the Hatton pick because I like watching him. He's a little bit of a time bomb. You know, whoever coaches him, I think his dad is
his dad.
Coach, hasn't coached the personality. See, I like players like that that have fire. I was never one to say that John Rahm needed to calm down and stuff. Those guys, to me, have a desire to be successful. Now, they can temper it a little bit and things like that, but I would never tell a John Rahm or Tyrrell Hatton, you know, to turn into a metronome or something. You know, that's who they are. And so I like fire in players. I think it's great. And so to me, Hatton is a lot of fun to watch. I wish he was in the hunt every week because every time he misses a shot, you have no idea how he's going to respond. And that tells me that he demands a lot of himself. And so I think guys that have quite a bit of fire in them hate mediocrity. Now, sometimes it can work against him, and I understand that. But I like his fire. I think you bring up a very valid point there, John, that maybe at this point in time in everyone's career, he'd be the guy that would close the deal on Sunday, and I can certainly see your view on that.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of other under the constituents of the English flag, Paul Casey's up there. Justin Rose, a return. He looks good. What a great career, and what a good player he's been for so long, isn't he?
I'm just surprised he hasn't won more. I don't know what happened. You know, he won his U.S. Open at Marion 2000.
Changed equipment.
He went to
TaylorMade to a Humna or something. You know, he went for the big bucks and all that stuff. And how much do you need? You know, I mean, I can't imagine how much money he was already worth. He was winning, you know, big tournaments all the time. And, well, I always wonder about those guys that change equipment. And Hamna isn't exactly, you know, for the American tour anyway, Charlie, an equipment maker that's had a lot of success.
Homa, you mean? Homa?
Whatever it is.
Whatever it is. Jason Day is back up there, too, guys. I was touched last week. Jason Day, Tony Finau, Patrick Reed, Annika Sorenstam, Phil, they all wore red and black for Tiger, the red shirt and the black pants. And with Annika, she wore the black skirt. I would have thought more. I would have thought more guys would have done it though, because I would have thought, you know, if it wasn't for Tiger, all those guys, every one of those guys has got to thank Tiger for all the money that's out there on that tour. Not all the money, but the big increase and what golf is today is in large part because of what Tiger did for the tour. So I would have thought there would have been more tributes to him, if you want to know the truth.
Well, you know, I'm on the Nike staff, and I get all my Nike stuff free, and I don't I'll be honest with you, I don't own a red shirt. I couldn't have done it. But I was surprised that the manufacturers, you know, they can get this merchandise to these players pretty easily.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Charlie?
Yeah.
I was kind of surprised a little bit with you, John, there, that not every manufacturer decided, so let's get the black and red to every one of our players, because all it would have done is highlight their company also.
Yeah.
So I was a little surprised on some points that I thought there would be a lot more. Morikawa said that he didn't have they had sent him one and it didn't get to him in time. And then he was quite emotional in talking about Tiger's influence and stuff on him when he won. And so it's interesting the turnaround Tiger has made with the players and how much they looked up to him. I don't think the players that were that era ahead of him, they all liked him and admired what he did in golf, but they didn't revere him, I think, like these younger players do, Charlie. And I think it's kind of cool, and I think it's good for Tiger to realize that, you know, your opponents don't have to be your enemy when you play. You can still play against people that you care about in life and have mutual respect for.
Well, his you know, one of his best friends today is Justin Thomas. A younger yep. kid that he'd befriended at the President's Cup, and they live Ricky close also. To each other, and so he can relate to those guys. So his past competitors that he beat their heads in the wall for the last yeah. 10 years, you know.
But these young guys grew up yeah. idolizing him, yeah. right?
So he Tiger's changed, and I admire him for that, and I hope
yep.
that he comes out of this
Interesting development this week is that they're getting the black box from the car.
Yeah.
I didn't know. I knew planes had black boxes, but apparently the cars do,
more,
too.
It's more interesting that they don't want the results of his blood test. I think that's so unbelievable to me, a guy who is has a prior DUI arrest, and nobody wants the results of these blood tests. The three experts that they sent to the crash scene all concluded, and none of them had a dog in the fight, that the car never changed direction, the brakes were never put on, and they concluded that he either was asleep, unconscious, or had a medical condition. You know, these are all the official ways of talking about it. So it seems very odd to me that nobody wants to know the results of the blood test, what was in his system. It didn't seem to be the case in 2017 when he had enough drugs in his system to kill a horse, you know. So I think it's very, very fishy, to be honest with you, that they don't want to know what was in his blood. I really do.
I think it's kind of obvious that look at his phone. See if he got a text right before it. Because if he's looking down, there's no reason if he's reading while he's driving.
You think it's obvious that he never changed direction? He kept reading the text as he was flying over the median and going 50 miles an hour into a tree. He never once changed direction.
But by that time,
500 feet.
Yeah, I don't know. By that time, that might be too late. I don't know. I don't know.
I think it's bull. I think he was out, you know.
Maybe.
And if he was, and if he did have drugs in his system, and he does have an issue with this, because we know that he does. I think they're enablers. These are big ifs, by the way. I'm not saying he did. I said, but anybody that doesn't think that they should find out why this happened,
yeah.
I think that's very, very, very unusual. That's all I'm saying.
All right.
Highly unusual.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll wrap it up on the other side right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, Inspiring Business Performance.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's John Granato.
All right, well, our final segment here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour brought to you by Insperity, Inspiring Business Performance. Bill, we're on our own next week. How about this? Charlie with the family, his grandkids, all going to Pebble. Gonna play a little Pebble. Gonna play Spyglass. Where else you gonna play?
Spanish Bay.
Spanish Bay. Is that any good?
We're gonna walk on the beach.
Nice.
We're gonna play Tripoli.
You're not gonna be on the show, Charles?
I'm not gonna be on the show. I'll leave it to you. I don't get to talk much with you guys anyway.
It's 6 o'clock. It's 6 o'clock on the West Coast. I live on the West Coast. You're not gonna be playing at six. Get out of bed. Get out of bed. Grace us with some of your knowledge on recreational drugs and stuff. You'll be in Northern California. You might be able to get some up there.
I'm taking a vacation, Bill.
That's it. He's off, Bill. He ain't getting up like you do.
It's unreal, John. You and Charlie, every time you have a vacation, the only mainstay here is this Harmon kid.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
South Korea, all over the world. President's Cup in Australia. There's Bill waking up at 1 in the morning. It's going to be 6 o'clock on the West Coast, Charlie. You can do the show. Don't be telling me.
I'm
playing Spyglass at 6 a.m., partner.
Hey, Jim, I'm Bill, I'm on vacation.
He's vacationing. All right. Okay.
All right.
I'm going to get up and have coffee with my wife.
I just miss I won't be able to get on you.
I know.
He's got the ocean view room.
Selfish on my part.
He's got the ocean view room, too, Bill. Okay? So he's going to be sitting out there looking at the ocean, the giant tree on 18.
I'm living it up. Large.
Yeah, he is.
17th mile drive.
You know
drive.
What's going to happen, Charlie? He's going to get so upset at me, needle him about this when he plays 18 at Pebble. Mark my words, he's going to dive bomb that thing right in the ocean.
You won't even be in my mind.
You're going to be dive bombing that thing right in the ocean.
Yeah, I got a feeling he ain't going to be thinking about
us,
Bill.
Mad, you're going to throw your driver in the ocean. Just think, Charlie, at the top of your swing, you're going to be thinking about me this morning in the radio show, and you're going to snap hook it right in the ocean.
I got a buddy. My buddy throws on 8. On 8, he throws his, because he got to hit a utility in. Every time he hits it on 8 over the water, he throws his club into the water. He just throws it in there, and he's got to get a new one every time he plays there. All right, we're done, boys.
I'll remember you, Bill.
All right, yeah, we'll see you in a couple, Charlie.
Well,
have fun.
Dive bombing on the rock. Think of me, man.
Have a good week, Bill.
All right, boys, Johnny. We appreciate it. Sean, thank you, all of you.